Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 21st chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. They said to him, We will go with you. They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, Children, do you have any fish? They answered him, No. He said to them, Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of the fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved, therefore, said to Peter, It is the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and he threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. And when they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place, with fish laid out on it and bread. Jesus said to them, Bring some of the fish that you have just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, Come and have breakfast. Now none of the disciples dared ask him, Who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. This is the gospel of the Lord. Christ is risen.
Hallelujah.
Some 3 weeks after Easter, we are now still proclaiming that Christ is risen from the dead, and it doesn't seem like there's still quite the joy or the fulfillment or the excitement of it all. In fact, many of us still might question, did Jesus even really rise from the dead? Is all of this really true? Last Sunday, we heard of a wonderful account of Thomas, who doubted whether Jesus had risen from the dead. And Jesus would reveal himself by coming through a closed and locked door and saying, Peace be with you, to his disciples, and breathing on them the Holy Spirit. And then he would show them his hands and his side, and he would speak directly to Thomas, Touch and see, do not disbelieve, but believe. And Thomas, not having to touch, would see and hear and believe. But we weren't there. That was over 2,000 years ago. And now today, we hear from John that the third time that Jesus reveals himself, it is along the seashore. The disciples decided to go fishing. Now, it's kind of interesting because you'll notice that Jesus isn't with them. After Easter Sunday, after Jesus reveals himself to his disciples, life carries on. It goes on. And the disciples would go out and they would catch nothing. I like that part of this text because that's how it is with me. Every time I go out, there is nothing. Yet you see somebody else across the lake, in a boat, on a dock, on the side, and they're just reeling in fish left and right. Doesn't life at times seem like that for us as Christians? We prayed that the Lord would give us joy and fulfillment by his resurrection, that he has called us out of the darkness and into his marvelous light. But yet at times we go through life with very little joy, very little feeling of fulfillment. In fact, we go through life often looking at our neighbors and people around us, maybe those who don't confess to be Christians, and it seems as if their life is somewhat better, that things are going much more smoothly for them than for you or for me. And so we wonder, what is it that they have that I don't seem to have? Out on the lake, what is it that they're using that I don't have? What kind of bait? Ooh, look at that fishing pole. I don't have one that nice. Maybe that will help me catch the fish. And we carry on throughout life looking at all of the stuff around us and saying, where is the fulfillment? Where is the joy? Where is the fulfillment and the joy in the job that I can't stand going to each and every day? Where is the fulfillment and the joy in a retirement that I thought was going to be great and relaxing, and yet it's causing me nothing but troubles, fears, and worries about finances, health, or whatever else? Where is the joy and the fulfillment? Here, at times. For yet again, yesterday, we had a burial for yet another saint who's passed on. Yet again. Where is the joy and fulfillment of all of this? All of this Jesus talk that we're all talking about, Him dying, rising again from the dead, Him caring for us, Him telling us to cast all of our cares and our sorrows onto Him because He cares for us. And He's supposed to deliver us. And yet at times we find ourselves coming up empty. The disciples were expert fishermen. They were pros. They knew what they were doing. They had done it several times. And Jesus reveals Himself to them on their turf, so to say, just as He had done before, when He first called them, when He first called them to follow Him. See, even throughout His ministry, despite their questions, despite all their doubts and their fears, questioning at times, who is this that the wind and the waves obey? Who is this that can raise the dead? Who is this that can heal and do all of these things? Jesus was always there, right by their side, giving them the fulfillment that they weren't realizing, but that was always there. The kingdom of God is at hand, He would always say. And yes, even there after the resurrection, the third time that Jesus reveals Himself, the disciples after the resurrection don't have this joy-filled, fulfilled life, it seems like. They go back to their normal mundane tasks. They go out to go fish. And they come up with nothing. And yet Jesus asks them, children, do you have any fish? They answered, no, we don't. We've struggled all night. The nighttime is the perfect time to catch all of these fish. They have a great net with no holes in it. And they've caught nothing. And once again, Jesus speaks the word. He doesn't join them in the boat. He doesn't give them a special magical net or fishing pole. He doesn't tell them anything other than to simply cast the net on the right side and you will find some. And they do it. They don't even question. And as you hear, they see the great quantity of fish. Now, we could stop right there, and we could talk about this passage and say, if you just believe hard enough, if you just have enough faith, the Lord is going to cause your wallet to explode with cash. The Lord is going to take away your debt. He's going to take away all of these things. If you just believe hard enough, and you give yourself to the Lord, and you rely solely on Him. But that's not what this is all about. The great catch of fish reminds the disciples of the first time that they interacted with Jesus on the seashore catching fish, where He said that you will now be fishers of men. Thomas and the others who are all with Peter and them, they don't sit there and marvel at the great catch of fish. They don't look at it and say, wow, it's about time. They simply respond in hearing the words of Jesus and following him with the great confession of faith. It is the Lord. It is the Lord. What wonderful words for you and I to recite and to say in the midst of our doubts and our fears. Is our God truly looking out for us? It is the Lord. Did Jesus really rise from the dead? I have my doubts. I have my speculations. There have been those who have tried to teach me otherwise. It is the Lord. Lord, I'm trying to get through life with all of the struggles and trials and temptations and fears. I don't know what's happening to me. It is the Lord. The Lord is the one who is there right by their side, and he is right there by your side, even when things don't seem so filled with joy, so fulfilled, or things seem pretty bleak. It is the Lord. And then you see their reaction. They jump out of the boat. They go running in from the waters to be with Jesus. And what does Jesus do? He has a meal prepared for them. He doesn't say, "Surprise, it's me again, but you weren't expecting this." He prepares a meal for them, bread and fish, reminding them of the feeding of the 5,000 and the 4,000. Even in those accounts, they were confused as to how this could have even happened. And yet all along, it is the Lord who is doing all of this. All along, despite their doubts, their fears, their questions about all of this. And he has them sit down to breakfast. This whole episode of what we have heard today is the fulfillment of everything coming together in Jesus' resurrection. Jesus' resurrection is not simply an event in history. It's not an exception to the rule that dead people don't rise. Jesus' resurrection for you and for me is the beginning of the end and the end of the beginning. It signals the last days of this old, fallen, worn-out creation that you and I live in. A creation that has doubts and fears, a creation that has broken toys and stuff not happening for us. His resurrection is the first day of the new creation for you. And Jesus has landed on the seashore of the resurrection. And what remains is the catch of fish happening in the church. And yet there on the seashore, giving joy and fulfillment right here in this place, but also in the time that is to come when all of this world will be brought to an end, there is Jesus waiting to receive you, the Lamb who was slain but now who lives, whose blood has redeemed you and made you his own dear people. All from every nation, tribe, people, language, all so that his kingdom may be given to you as his royal people. You are now the kingdom of God. You are now the kingdom of God that goes out from this place to speak, to show mercy and love, all to give witness to Christ and his death and his resurrection. All because your sins have been washed away in his blood. It doesn't mean that you're going to get a raise tomorrow. It doesn't mean that you're going to get a good health report from the doctor next week. It doesn't mean anything in this life is guaranteed to be fulfilled or joyful or successful. It means that you have the hope that lies within you, the hope of the world that is to come. But until then, it is the Lord in your midst. And the Lord beckons you to his table this day, where we uphold the bread and the cup, and by his word he reveals himself in the breaking of the bread and the reading of the scriptures, and we proclaim, it is the Lord. Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. And he does. Come and have breakfast, says Jesus to the disciples, while the 153 fish, I love he specifics in that, are flopping away in the net. He doesn't even ask them to fix breakfast for him. He made the fire, very similar to the fire that Peter stood around as Jesus was being put on trial. And rather than questioning Peter, why did you deny me? He cooks Peter breakfast. Jesus always makes good for his disciples. It's a foretaste that we heard of today, a new beginning, the first meal of the day, and there is more to come. More for you. More in this time, today, and more to come in eternity. It is the Lord in your midst today. And he says, come, my friends, take, eat, and take, drink, the foretaste of the feast that is to come. The bread of my body, the wine of my blood, be refreshed here at this place, despite all of your troubles, your doubts, your fears. Come to this place and gather and feast until I come to receive you in paradise that has no end. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power, wealth, and wisdom, and might, and honor, and glory, and blessing. And worthy are you now, for you have the Lamb. To Christ alone be all the glory now and forever. Amen. We rise.